So you'd like to give more, but you don't know how. Good news. If money's scarce, it doesn't mean your giving has to be. I'm Rob West. Hebrews 13:16 reads, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." It doesn't say, unless you're broke. Today I'll give you some ways you can give without money. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. One of God's financial and spiritual principles that isn't talked about enough is that God gives an extra measure of blessing for sacrificial giving. Listen to Luke 21, 1 through 5. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This reveals an opportunity to be even more generous, even if you don't have another dime to spare. You can give sacrificially in any number of ways without money. And here are several suggestions that barely scratch the surface. Obviously, the first is to give time to your local church. There are any number of ways to serve. Is there a missions committee you might serve on? Maybe you can teach a Sunday school class. If you don't feel confident teaching adults, how about a children's class? Or you could weed flower beds outside the church or rake leaves. One sure way to find something to do at your church is to ask a deacon what they need help with. You'll probably get a long list. Another way to serve your church is to visit members when they're in the hospital. An hour of your time could be the highlight of someone's day. Another idea is volunteering to babysit for parents in your church who need a break from the kids. You can also do volunteer work in your neighborhood and community. Are there elderly shut-ins in your area that would enjoy a visit? While you're at it, ask if they need any work done. You could help out around the yard, shovel snow, or maybe pick up groceries for them. Use the opportunity to advance God's kingdom and offer to take them to church if that's possible. You can also have a positive impact on the lives of people even without leaving your home. Set up your own ministry of sending cards and handwritten letters to folks who need a few words of encouragement. Include a scripture verse that shows the love of Christ. Take a look in your closets, garage, or basement. Do you have items that you haven't used in quite a while? If you don't need them, donate them, preferably to a Christian charity like the Salvation Army. And by the way, you may be throwing away things that some ministry can use. A food bank or thrift store can recycle your plastic shopping bags, saving them money. Do you have a van, truck, or trailer? Use those resources God gave you to help others by doing some volunteer hauling. Maybe someone you know or hear about is moving. Show up and offer to help. To say they'll be surprised is an understatement. You can also donate unused Bibles and other Christian books. There are several international ministries that accept and distribute these materials in places where believers are starving to read and learn God's Word. Love Packages and Christian Resources International are two ministries that will take and distribute your unused Bibles and Christian materials globally. We'll put links to them in today's show notes. But also check with local homeless shelters, many of which accept Bibles and other Christian material. Now, here's one way you can give to God's kingdom that you never thought of. Give blood. How does that help the kingdom? Well, they say that every pint of blood donated saves three lives. Those are three more people who will live another day for the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts with the truth of the gospel, saving them for eternity. Visit redcrossblood.org for details on where and when you can donate blood. God has given each of us special skills. Are you good with computers? Maybe you're a graphic designer, an electrician, or a dentist. Donate your skills and talents, first within your church to folks who need help, then in your community. And again, use the opportunities this presents to share the gospel. Do you keep a garden? If so, you may have extra fruits and vegetables to give away. Make care packages of your extra homegrown foods to share with folks in your church, friends, and neighbors. Never let anything go to waste. Now, perhaps the most important way you can give to the kingdom is to pray. If your church has a prayer group, show up and participate, but also pray individually for your church, your world, friends, and neighbors. Okay, so those are ways you can be generous, even if you're broke. We hope you'll take advantage of them, and again, we'll put links to several of them in today's show notes. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The word covet is not a common word these days, but it's the last of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. God says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor." What's the big deal? Well, coveting hurts the way we think about our neighbors and the way we think about God. When we're coveting something, we're not content with what the Lord has given. For example, if we covet someone else's possessions, we're saying that God has not given us enough. So what's the alternative? Well, how about gratitude for the many blessings God has lavishly given to us? And chief among them is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, all the programming here at AFR is designed to help you live out a biblical worldview in every facet of your lives. You know, what's interesting, though, and unfortunate, is the latest biblical worldview study out of Arizona Christian, led by George Barna, since the pandemic was conducted in 2023. And the latest data says that only 4% of Americans operate from a biblical worldview. That's down from 6%, a third lower just a few years before that, pre-pandemic. And so, you know, as we think about that, especially as it relates to money, we realize that most of us here in this country are taking our cues from the world with regard to into how we handle God's resources. And the world would have us believe that money can provide that satisfaction and enjoyment and abundance and security that is hardwired into us. We know that's not true. Only God can provide those. But when we see Him as our ultimate treasure and we make money a tool to accomplish His purposes, well, it's a game changer. We want to help you do that each day as you live out of a biblical worldview in light of every part of your life, but certainly in your role as a money manager. So we're going to dive in today. Our first question comes from Chicago. Joanne, go right ahead.
For answering, being available to answer my question, I am a retired teacher, and I was told by my advisor when I was teaching, which I retired in a year ago, and I would always ask her about paying off my house. And I want to know, is this a good time at 70 years old to pay off my house? Hmm. And I do have the funds to do it, but I don't know if it's the right time. Will I be penalized or I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question, Joanne. Tell me kind of what you're leaning toward in this. What is your conviction around it?
Well, from listening to you all, that's why I asked her a few years ago that it's always good to pay off your house. And I was working hard to do that. I've been actually just saving money for a very long time before I even became a teacher. I had this goal to have a house to take care of my mom and dad, and they're gone now. And like I said, I'm 70 years old, and I think about the scripture, "Owe no man nothing," and I just don't, I just really want to be free of that debt.
Yes. Yeah, I can certainly resonate with that, Joanne, and I would agree that lines up with our teaching and encouragement here. Doesn't mean everyone needs to pay off their home, and largely it comes down to what we call liquidity, which is just simply, you know, if it would deplete you of nearly all of your liquid assets, we would just want to make sure that even though you'd recapture that monthly mortgage payment, that you're not left without something to fall back on if the unexpected came. So let's just run through a few numbers here so I get a better feel for your situation, and then we'll talk about how you think about making this decision. First, what do you have in savings that you could use to pay the house off?
In savings, I have, let's say, enough money, because I've been saving money since I was 14 years old.
Okay, very good. I love that, that you've been living modestly and saving diligently, and you've got some fruit to show for it. Would you be left with at least, let's say, 6 months worth of expenses in your savings after the house was paid off?
Most definitely.
Very good. And what do you owe on the home today, roughly?
$60,000.
Okay. And do you recall the interest rate you're paying?
5.2.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
So here's the way I think about it. I mean, could you do better investing that money? Perhaps. You certainly couldn't get a guaranteed 5.2% for longer than, let's say, a year. You could find that in a CD today, but what you would also find is that as these interest rates start heading down with the Federal Reserve, those aren't going to be available too much longer. So, you know, when you pay off your home, let's just deal with the financial side. There's the non-financial side of the equation. We'll get to that in a moment. But purely from a financial standpoint, when you pay off any loan, your return, your guaranteed return is equal to the interest rate you were paying and are no longer paying. So what we're saying is that by you paying off this $60,000 with plenty left over, way more than 6 months worth of expenses, you're guaranteeing yourself a return of at least 5%.
5.2%. In fact, it's a little bit more than that, because if you were to have to make that through interest or investments, you'd have to make the money, then pay the tax, and then be left with 5.2% in order to equal the return you're going to get by paying off the house. So I think from a financial standpoint, this absolutely makes sense. And then the non-financial side just reaffirms that idea, because yes, as soon as you pay it off, now you're completely unencumbered. You don't owe anyone anything. You have even greater flexibility to follow the leading of the Lord, because you don't have to worry about an obligation. And thirdly, now you've just freed up, you know, additional funds on a monthly basis that you were sending as a mortgage payment that you're now no longer doing. And so you actually have the ability to take, you know, the equivalent of that mortgage payment and continue funding your savings to replenish what you just paid out. So I think for all of those reasons, I think this is a great idea. Give me, though, what feedback you're getting from your advisor on this.
Well, she would always tell me, why do you want to, she didn't give me any reason why I shouldn't. She just always says, why do you want to pay off your house? Your money is doing well. But yeah. I just felt like I just didn't want that. I just wanted to pay off my house before I retired. She never gave me a reason. She just always asked, why do you want to pay it off? And my idea was spiritually, but I didn't think that she would understand that. So I just didn't pursue that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I love the idea. I think you're exactly right. You know, here's the bottom line, Joanne, and I don't want to question her motives. I mean, often if you have an advisor where it makes as much sense as it does here and they're not encouraging you to do it, it's that they're getting compensated on that amount that they're managing that would now be gone because you're using it to pay off the home. That may or may not play into this. I have no idea. But regardless of that, the purpose of money is not to have more of it. The purpose of money, which is a gift from the Lord, and it all belongs to Him, and its purpose is to accomplish a set of God-given goals driven by our values. And your values are derived from your faith in Jesus and the fact that you're living by a biblical worldview. And if you start with your values and you say, one of the values I want to live by is I want to be unencumbered. Well, then money is a tool to live that out. And the natural byproduct of that is you pay off your home. So long as it's not going to deplete all of your liquid reserves, you're still going to have plenty of left over to deal with whatever comes your way. And all of those things are absolutely the case. So I would say yes, yes, and yes, let's pay off the house. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, Joanne. You've been a wonderful testimony to our listeners today of a faithful steward. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life. liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This is where each day we gather together to mine the scriptures, to unpack the ideas and principles we see in God's Word related to money management as you live, give, owe, and grow. By the way, you know, God's Word speaks to every one of those areas. You know, there's only four things you can do with money. Now, you might say, Rob, how is that possible? It seems like there's an unlimited number of things I can do with my money. And yeah, that's true, but they fit into four categories. It's your lifestyle, the money you live on, the money you give, the money you owe for debt and for taxes, and the money you grow, your savings, both short-term and long-term. And everything fits into one of those four. And God's Word speaks to each of those. You know, we should live appropriately. We need to pursue contentment and be on our guard in such a way that we don't allow our lifestyle, the pursuit of the things of this world, our material possessions, to compete with our hearts for God. So when we live appropriately and with contentment, we're able to enjoy what God has entrusted to us and certainly provide for our families, which is very biblical, but doing it in such a way that it doesn't crowd out God's plans and will for our lives. We then give, and of course, we want to give really first, because I think the primary purpose for what God has entrusted to us is for our giving. And then we owe, and we have to be careful here, especially when it comes to debt, because as I mentioned, this is one of the primary ways that we presume upon the future when we are encumbered by debt, and we need to be on our guard there, seeking to only use debt for productive uses. I would say that's where the economic return is greater than the economic cost. Think appreciating assets like businesses and homes, not cars, certainly not consumer spending. So we avoid debt wherever possible, and we seek to get out of debt over time. And then we grow, and that's our savings. We want to save appropriately there, because the key for both live and grow is to start with the question, how much is enough? Now, you might be saying, well, it'd be great if I could get to the point where I had to ask how much is enough. I'm just trying to make ends meet, and I get that. And that's where a lot of folks find themselves, and that's why we need to be really careful about living on a spending plan and having our expenses dialed in around a plan that reflects our values and our priorities, of course, meets our obligations. And in different seasons of life, that's going to be much more challenging than others. That's where we trust the Lord for His provision, and we accept what He's provided and live within that. Now, it doesn't mean we don't try to improve that. Maybe, you know, get a better paying job, or maybe work with seek out a second job, or try to reduce spending. I mean, we need to do our part, but at the end of the day, God is our provider. And then we need to ask the question, how much is enough for our savings, both for the short term, and that's where we recommend 3 to 6 months for your emergency funds, and then for the long term. What is our ultimate goal for accumulation? How much are we trying to save over the long haul? And what is that number? It's not about the mindless accumulation of wealth. There really should be a financial finish line. So as we go back to God's word, we see the big ideas and themes around each of these areas, and then we want to live accordingly. Again, live, give, owe, and grow. Hopefully that's helpful to you as you think about how you apply God's counsel and wisdom to the actual decisions and choices you're making today. Jody's in Minnesota today. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for what you do, number one. Absolutely. Thank you so much for what you do for everyone. I appreciate what you do for all.
Thank you for saying that.
I mean it with all my heart. So I'm going to retire in 4-5 years, excuse me, or four, close to that. At 67 at full retirement, I have enough credits. My husband is 7 years younger. So do I have to wait till I'm 74 to claim his 50%? Or can I claim what I have coming, which is less, plus I have 14 years of para public employee retirement, but it's not equal to his 50%. So do I have to wait till 74 to get it and start and get the 50% on his, or I take mine at 67, whatever it is with the para, and then when he turns full retirement, I'd be 74, and then I get his, the difference. And then what if he retires early and he doesn't go to his, quote, full retirement rate? Do I then get less, even though I retired at full retirement age?
Yeah, it's a great question. All right, so you can begin taking your benefits at 67, and you wouldn't have them reduced at all because you would have been at least full retirement age. And of course, if you wait, you can increase that benefit. Now, with regard to a spousal benefit, you would not be able to take your spousal benefit until he does. And so he has to walk through that door first, and he can't do that until 62. And so when he does, then if you are at least full retirement age, your spousal benefit would not be reduced. His would, but yours would not. So you could begin taking yours at full retirement age and then switch to the spousal benefit if it's higher once he begins taking his benefits, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I was hoping for a computer, and you did that for me. Thank you so much. It's tough wondering and have this big question mark. Now I know. Thanks to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jody. Absolutely. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Brunny, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm 66, and I sold the house that I have, and I'm getting $70,000 that I can do something with it. I don't know if I should just rent an apartment or buy a real small house. I don't have saving account. I don't have emergency funds. I don't have nothing like that because I live check by check with my job. So what should I do?
Are you renting something right now?
I just started renting 1 month ago that everything was settled with the house.
Okay. And if you were to buy something else equivalent to what you're currently renting, how much would you be looking to spend?
With the where I live, it's very expensive. Not more than $299,000.
Okay, so $300,000 would be roughly what you're looking to spend. So let's do this. That's helpful background information. What I'm going to do is take a quick break here. Bruni, you hold the line. When we come back, we'll talk about whether that would leave you enough for emergency savings, because we don't want to deplete everything, and whether or not you'd be able to afford that mortgage payment. So we'll tackle that just around the corner. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Before the break, we were talking to Bruni in Pennsylvania. She recently sold her home. She's got about $70,000 available. She's wondering if she should buy a very small house or just continue to rent, which she's doing now. She has no savings and no emergency fund. And Bruni, I think the key here is that whatever we do when you come out of it, whether you just continue to rent and keep that $70,000 in savings or you buy something, I want to make sure we do two things. Number one is when you buy something, I don't want you to buy too much house and come out with a mortgage payment that's going to be one you can't afford, and it's going to create, you know, real pressure on you that you don't need. So we want to keep that, you know, in line. And then secondly, I want to make sure that you do have emergency savings, because there's going to undoubtedly be things that will come out of left field that you didn't anticipate. So let's say, you know, we were to plan on you trying to come out of this with, you know, at least $10,000 in savings. So that would mean you'd have $60,000 available. You know, I'm thinking that you'd probably only want to buy, because I believe you said you could go up to $1,200 a month and still make your budget work, somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200 a month. That means that you could really only buy a house for probably $200,000 to $210,000, and then plan to put down $55,000 to maybe $60,000 of the $70,000 that you got from the previous home sale. And my just quick estimate is that would result in, you know, with a mortgage of about $155,000, that would result in a mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, so including the property taxes and the insurance, of just under $1,200 a month. And so the question would be, could you find that home or condo or something for around 200 to 210 at the most, you know, where you'd put down that 55,000 or so, you know, and have the 15,000 left in savings that would keep you under 1200 a month. If so, great. Then yeah, you could certainly consider buying something. If not, you probably want to continue to rent. Cause again, I just don't want you to buy something that is going to result in a mortgage payment that's going to be hard, you know, difficult for you to maintain. Does that all make sense?
Okay. That's all makes sense. Yes, indeed.
Okay, very good. So I think your next step perhaps is to connect with a real estate agent there in Pennsylvania and just talk through what options you have around the $200,000 price range. Maybe go look at a few of them and think and pray, ask the Lord to give you some wisdom and see if you could find something that would fit. If so, I think as long as you stay in that range and keep your mortgage payment, including the taxes and the insurance, as close to $1,000 as you can, get a good feel for what the utilities are going to be as well, you know, the electric and the water and so forth. You know, then I think that, you know, would at least give you an option to buy something that you can afford and still have the emergency savings after it's all said and done. Thank you for calling today. If we can assist you further, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Ellen in Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi. About 2 or 3 years ago, I got some of the, I think they were the I-bonds, right, on treasury.gov.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still a good thing to do, or do I look to cash in maybe the ones I did? What's your opinion?
Yeah. You know, so I-bonds kind of fit into that category of and time horizon of investment from 1 to 3 years. Because if you're less than a year, you can't do an I-bond because you've got to hold them for a year. And if you're more than 3 years, you're probably going to do better elsewhere. The other thing we've got going on is, you know, I-bonds were very attractive a few years ago. They got up to 9%. They're not attractive any longer because today they're at 4.28. And this fall, coming November the 1st, they're going to, you know, be they're going to come out with the new rate, and it's going to continue to fall because as inflation comes down, and it clearly is, the I-bond rate, the composite portion that's pegged to CPI, is going to bring that rate down. So I think this is a good time, as long as you're beyond a year, to go ahead and cash them out. And if you wanted to, you could go ahead and lock the money into a CD. If you had 12 months to put the money aside, which you can still get at 5%, that would give you a better rate of return, you know, for the next 12 months than you're undoubtedly going to get in the I-bonds because they're already below that today and they're going to be even further below that in November. Does that make sense?
Oh, great. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So to find that CD rate that, you know, the most attractive one that's available today, I just go to bankrate.com, click on CDs, and you'll find, you know, 1 year CDs, perhaps even a 18 month CD, certainly higher than 4.5%, probably something closer to 5. So thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Tyler. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your show and program. So helpful to many, I'm sure. I have an adult child who is autistic, and he struggles with money. As far as when I say money, it's not spending of money. It just has, like, no value to him. He doesn't understand the value of money, I guess you could say. I don't know how to explain that. Anyway, do I need to set up I was thinking about setting up some sort of trust fund. How do I go about that? Is that strictly a will process is there a separate thing for a trust fund to help him after we pass?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, Tyler. And I appreciate you raising this because clearly you want to make sure he has what he needs and that there's guardrails around it that gives him access to it based on certain conditions, perhaps naming a trustee to release it appropriately, but also not prevent him from getting access if he qualified for it, you know, in the future for the government benefits, such as the, you know, supplemental security income, Medicaid, state funding, other types of things. You know, the simple way to do this would be through an ABLE account, which is A-B-L-E, which was put in place several years ago. It's kind of built on the chassis of the 529 plans for college, but it's for those that have special needs. It's easier to set up than the special needs trust, but you can't, you know, put as much in it. You know, so for an ABLE account, you would be able to put in only the $18,000 a year that you could normally put in for an annual gift exemption. And then I believe the max is about $500,000. Whereas the other option, which is kind of the big brother to the ABLE account, would be a special needs trust. And, you know, that you could put in as much as you want. And, you know, it would cost you probably a few thousand dollars to set it up, but it's going to give you, you know, the ability to have all the controls that you could possibly need in how that money's dispersed. And again, make sure that he preserves his ability to access, you know, the government assistance when you all are gone. So what I would do as a next step, Tyler, is connect with an attorney who specializes in these types of things. Any estate planning attorney could do it, but some specialize in the special needs area. But what you'd be asking about is a special needs trust, or if that's not necessary, an ABLE account, A-B-L-E. And if you need a referral to an estate planning attorney, you could contact a certified Kingdom advisor there in Alabama. Just go to our website, faithfi.com, click on Find a Professional. Any one of those CKAs could refer you to a godly estate planning attorney who could walk you through all of this. But this is the time to think about it now. Go ahead and get it in place, and it'll be there for your son's future. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are His hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, you're struggling to stay on budget like we all are? Well, I've got a solution for you. It's the FaithFi app. It's what Julie and I use to manage our budget. We have connected all of our accounts. Our transactions download automatically. That's right. Whether it's dance lessons for the girls or clothes shopping or going out to dinner. They all just come in, and the system knows exactly what envelopes each of those transactions go to. It learns our habits. And then when we open it at any moment, we can see what's left in each envelope just right there in the palm of our hand. It's called the FaithFi app. It's built on Larry Burkett's tried and true envelope system, but in a simple, easy-to-use smartphone interface. Check it out today when you go to your app store and search for FaithFi, or you can download it on our website, faithfi.com. Just click app and you can learn all about it. All right, let's head back to the phones. Orlando, Florida is where we're going next. Hi, June. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hello? Okay, good.
Yes.
So thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple years ago, I had over $100,000 in a money market, and somebody convinced me to take it out and put it in annuities. Well, it's gone down all the time since then. And now they're trying to tell me to take it out of the annuity, 10,000 at a time, and put it in T-bills, T-bonds, or whatever they called it. And I was wondering if that's a good thing, because I followed their advice last time, and it turned out not to be a good thing.
Yeah, I understand. How much do you have in that annuity today? Do you know?
$89,000.
Okay. And you said it's been declining in value?
Yep. It went from $100,000 down to $89,000.
Interesting. And you haven't taken any money out?
No.
Okay. I would want to know more about that. I think you ought to just inquire as to how did it lose money. I mean, normally, if an annuity is underperforming, you'd typically either want to surrender it or roll it over. But I'd want to know why it's underperforming. Usually, even if it's a variable annuity that's pegged to a market index, usually there's a floor where you can't lose money. But it would be interesting just to know why it's lost, more than 10% of its value. Nevertheless, I would agree with you. I think rolling it out is a good thing. Do you know if that money went in pre-tax or was it after-tax dollars?
I took it out of my money market and assigned it to him. So I paid tax on it before I put it in my money market.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and because it's lost value, you shouldn't have a taxable event. You'd want to always check with your CPA on that. What is this money earmarked for? Is this long-term money for retirement?
I'm already retired, and I paid off my house like you guys talk about. And so I was just putting my mortgage payment in this money market instead of wasting it.
Yeah.
So it just built up and built up and built up.
Got it. Okay, very good. So you're not living off of this at all. You don't really need it right now. It's just there if you needed it down the road.
Right, correct.
Okay, yeah, very good. So what I would probably do is connect with an advisor who could manage this for you outside of an annuity product. I agree. If this is money you don't need, putting it largely in bonds makes sense, and treasury bills, bonds, and notes could be a part of that. I'd probably stay on the shorter end of the duration. So the short-term bonds and notes, not the, long-term T-bills. But, I think that has a place. You could have a mix of treasury bills. You could have some corporate bonds, maybe a CD or two in there. And then, that would be likely maybe 60 to 70% of the portfolio. But then I think there, unless you just don't want this, I think there's a reason to consider maybe having 30% or so in stocks, where you've got a growth component to this. Because if this is money you don't need, the goal is to, first of all, hang on to it, not see it lose value over time, but second, to grow it, because we want to offset the effects of inflation, which we've seen, really more acutely in the last couple of years. And I think one way to do that is to have a small portion of stocks with a larger portion of bonds. The other thing is, June, that the bonds are going to do well as the interest rates come down, and the Federal Reserve has all but said they're going to start lowering rates next month in September. So what I would do is probably connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Orlando, somebody who could set up an account, help you roll the annuity money in, understand any tax implications. Hopefully there aren't any. And then redeploy that money into a portfolio that makes sense, that's properly diversified, that has the ability to grow in the future. And then you'd have full access to it down the road if you needed it for long-term care or whatever reason. And a good portion of that, again, could be in a very conservative position in bonds and money market and CDs, that type of thing. Does that make sense?
Sort of. So the question is, I noticed you said the word surrender. So they told me it would be less than that if I surrendered it. What, could you explain that to me?
Yeah, how long have you had this?
Less. 2.5 years.
Okay, yeah. So there's surrender penalties generally, which just means that, you know, when they paid the commissions to the agent who talked you into buying this, the way that the insurance company makes sure that they get repaid for what they paid out in commissions and fees to the agent is through a surrender charge, which just simply means usually for the first 7 years of an annuity, if you try to access it in the early part of those 7 years, it's a pretty steep penalty. And then that penalty declines every year until you get to that 7 year or 8 year mark, and then it goes away. So you're probably still in the period where you've got a surrender charge. So you're going to want to understand what that is. And then I think, again, the second thing is, wait a minute, I bought this annuity. I haven't taken any money out, and it's lost value. Why is that? Why is it more than 11% lower than when I started? I think somebody needs to give you that explanation. And then you could look at, and depending on how this thing might perform in the future, just based on what you learn about why it's done what it's done in the past, you can decide if you want to pay that surrender charge to then roll it out of the insurance company to an advisor who could help you manage it in stocks and bonds, largely bonds, but not inside an insurance product.
Okay.
Okay. To find an advisor who could give you a second opinion on all of that, June, you could head to our website. It's faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA there at the top of the page. And just hang in there. I know there's a lot to this and it can be frustrating at times, but I'm confident you'll get it all sorted out. And we appreciate your call today. Let's head to Plantation, Florida. I know it well. Lillian, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I am calling about a house as a gift. The house is paid off for, so I have taxes and insurance to pay. I'm just wondering if it's better to sell the house and get a smaller house, and you know, because I wanted to buy a car.
I see. Yeah. So what is your source of transportation right now?
I got a car, but I'm wondering if it was the right decision to make. I bought a new car.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. You know, the only challenge with that, I mean, I'm all for downsizing. You just need to make sure that it's going to benefit you in the long run, because there are transaction costs to buy and sell, not to mention, you know, other fees like moving costs and taxes. So you're going to have the real estate commissions, probably about 3% when you sell, and then another 3% when you buy. You know, you're going to have the cost of moving. You're going to have the taxes, you know, that have to be paid in advance, not to mention the real estate transfer tax. So you've just got to factor in all of that to make sure that you understand, okay, what is this going to cost me to get out of and into another home? And how much am I really going to save by downsizing? And actually go out and do some legwork to see, you know, what is it you want to spend to free up the money to buy the next car? And is there that home out there, you know, that would allow you to get into what's going to meet your needs and truly free up and give you, you know, some surplus left over at the end of the day? And if at the end of that process, by looking at all the transaction costs and going out and finding what it is you'd buy that is truly a downsized home that's less expensive, and you believe you can do all of it, then sure, you could lower your overall expenses, because hopefully you could bring your property insurance down. You could bring your taxes down, homeowner's insurance down. And I know how challenging that is in Florida. not to mention maybe lesser expense on the utilities. So if all of that pans out, then yes, it could be a good option to consider replacing the vehicle. I think with regard to the car, do you have a loan on that car currently?
Yeah.
Okay. So you'd be looking to sell it, pay off the loan, and then get into something less expensive there?
I don't know. I just got the car.
Okay. So why are you looking to replace it? Do you feel like it's something that you bought too much and you can't afford it?
Not really. I'm just trying to get some suggestion because right now it's like overall for I say yearly cost is about $25,000 to run the house and everything.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Let's do this, Lillian. There's so many moving pieces here. I would love to, if you'd be willing, to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor. We have a team of them here at FaithFi, and I'd love to provide, just as our gift to you, somebody who could help you run through what are all of those costs related to your home now, what might they be if you were to replace it, and then also evaluate that car and look at all of that in light of your budget and help you make some wise decisions. Would that be helpful to you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's do this. Stay on the line. I'll get your information. I'll get one of our financial counselors in touch with you to run through all of that. No cost to you. And hopefully that'll be a blessing. Folks, grateful to have you along with us today. I'm thankful for my team today. Adam, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.